The primary election is almost here. Vote centers will be open May 7th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make your vote count. Visit vote.indy.gov for more information. This message was paid for by the Marion County Election Board.
Credit card debt is totally out of control, and that is not good for anyone, even if you're a responsible person. 93 WIBC, it is the Kendall and Casey Show. I'm Rob. Casey's out today. Brad Kloffenstein-Stein in for Casey. All right, Brad, so Yahoo has this article, and it says, I'm just going to read you the headline. Credit card delinquency rates were worst on record in Fed study. And are you a credit card man? Are you a man who uses a credit card?
Yes.
You strike me as a man who, because I know you're a notorious rule follower.
I am
like
a rule
me.
Yes, I'm a rule follower. I say play by the rules till you can change the rules.
And so you strike me as a man who, on a regular basis, not only pays your credit card on time, you strike me as a man who probably pays it on the same day each time.
Yeah, generally.
I know you.
I'm thinking about it. Yeah. Like, yeah, I go to my online banking and I set it to go in a couple of days before the due date. And
yeah, I am. It's interesting for me because I remember, you know, I'm not saying like I was raised by my grandparents, but they were very influential in my upbringing. And they were, and we've told this story before, they're people of the Depression. And it is amazing. My grandfather was a railroad engineer. And I was always with great admiration from their upbringing, you know, greatest generation, fought in World War II. They created a very stable middle class existence for themselves, which is incredible for two people who grew up dirt poor and without shoes running around in the 1930s. And I used to, as a young person, I was somewhat interested in finance. I used to talk to them about how they did that. And one of the things they always did was that for almost everything, they paid cash.
Yeah.
Almost everything they did, they paid cash. I'm not sure. I was 31 when my grandparents passed away. I'm not sure more than two or three times in my entire life I ever saw them use a credit card.
I remember my grandparents also, got married in the Depression. And I remember my grandfather talking about the ills of the bankers and money men.
Yeah. And boy, hasn't that played out, Brad.
Yes. And I mean, I wish I could. I would just carry cash and pay for everything with cash. A lot of places don't take cash. They're making it inconvenient now,
right.
but in Brad's perfect world, it would still be cash based.
And so try to kind of live by that lifestyle yet with the reality of, like you're saying, that, I mean, it's 2024. It is, first of all, it's dangerous now to be walking around with large amounts of cash, and it's inconvenient, and many places are steering people away from that, et cetera. And they've incentivized you to not use cash, right? Like your credit card company, you probably get some sort of bonus incentive money, whatever, to use that card and pay it on time. So I've tried to meld a 21st century, 2024 reality of how life in the world works with that discipline that my grandparents had and say, okay, hey, I'm going to use a credit card, but I am with great discipline always going to pay this thing off, and I almost always pay the thing off within 5 days of getting the bill in the mail, even though you've got till whatever the date is. Don't wait. Go in there. I walk it in the bank. I still pay it in person in bank, so I have a receipt.
So you have a credit card through a local bank, no less.
And I always just make sure I, you know, do these things in person. And so I've tried to meld those two things together. But I can see how it is very, very easy for people who did not have that sort of upbringing or did not have that sort of fiscal discipline to not pay a credit card on time, because it's out of sight, out of mind. And what people perceive as a little bit of interest, what does that matter to me?
Right. Well, the credit card companies make it very easy. They will court college students and people when they're young, because those people have no debt.
Right.
And they're in theory, a good credit risk.
Yeah. So a new survey out or study out has found that almost 3.5% of card balances were at least 30 days past due as of December. Now, that's according to the Philadelphia Fed. That's the highest figure going back to the 2012. And that is really alarming, or it should be. It should be alarming if you're a person who is not paying your credit card on time, because you're just throwing money away.
Right.
And you're putting yourself, if you're a person who's ever been behind on your credit cards before, you are putting yourself in a position because of the interest where you cannot climb out of the thing.
Right.
I mean, eventually you will, and I'm not talking about somebody who, hey, I came up, you know, $30 short on my credit card, but I paid a bunch. I'm talking about there are people who just simply don't pay the thing from 1 month to the next.
Right, exactly. They're not paying. In fact, this article says 10% of credit card borrowers now have an account balance that exceeds $5,200.
That's incredible.
It is. And one quarter are over $2,000. And the number of late payments are increasing as well.
Yeah. So I think in my entire existence of having a credit card, I think I was late by one day, one time, and I am such an esteemed member of my financial institution that I walked in there and they're like, yeah, we clearly realized this was a mistake and we will waive your fee. And I handed them the money. And I, as the notorious rule follower, said, I'm terribly sorry for inconveniencing you with this. And they said, that's fine. We realized that that was an honest mistake. And they just wiped the fee out. And
as my wife tells me, my wife, the reformed banker, she will say, she's like, yeah, I used to have some tellers that work for me who would lecture people who were late and had to pay all these fees because they bounced checks. And she was like, no, this is where we make our money.
Right.
We say we understand there's a problem. We'll waive the fee this time, knowing that we won't waive it the next time, and that's where we make money. So let me ask you.
Yeah.
So does this mean this is an excellent time to be investing in Capital One or Visa, or are these institutions getting set up for disaster because people are falling behind and are going to default?
Well, and this is part of the larger debate. And you, Brad, you and I share a similarity in the sense of we are about the last people to say the government must fill in the blank. But this is why people do turn to the government, because they see these institutions who, it's very clear, and you talked about this, they incentivize you basically to be late.
Oh, yeah.
They're incentivizing me to put things on this credit card. Look, I'm a loss for my banking institution because I always pay the thing on time. So they're giving me a percentage back, and they're never going to make money off of me because I pay the thing on time. But they recognize for every one of me, there's a handful of people out there who probably don't. And that's how they make their money. They're not doing this. They're not giving you that cash back because they're running a soup kitchen. They're doing it because they know they're going to catch a fish every so often who gets suckered into that and doesn't pay it back. And so what does it say about these institutions and where are we at as a society where we have institutions who are betting on your financial failure?
They kind of are. They don't want you to completely fail. They just want you to have some dings.
They want you to fail just enough.
Let's be clear. The credit card companies do make money on the front end because they're getting 2.5% to 4% that they're charging the retailer every time you use that card.
You're right.
So that's how they can afford to give you the points and some sort of a reward on the points balance, is because they're also getting a percentage on the front end.
So this is where we're at. I mean, and this is, I think, the shocking thing for many of us is we are in a world now where we have a public education system that really doesn't teach financial literacy.
No.
How you could walk out of a high school after being in school for 12 years and not know how to balance a checkbook, how to manage money, how to write checks. I mean, there's these kids that I work at the golf course now, and some of them are very, very smart kids. It's not because they're not capable. It's because they're not taught. They don't know how to address an envelope. I had a conversation with one of them not too long ago, and they don't know how to do that. They didn't know how to read the back of a check. They don't understand how taxes are taken out. You have all of these people who are leaving the public education system. Oh, sure, they can speak 9 foreign languages, but they can't do the most basic of things that will keep them from getting suckered into something like this, which creates an environment that it will take them years, if ever, that they can get out of it. How is that possible that the public education system does not educate kids on how to do the most basic of financial literacy?
Now, Rob, many years ago, you would have been probably a kid when this came out, there was some fast food company, I want to say it was McDonald's, who briefly ran an ad showing a kid with his first job and, you know, how he's taking pride in his work. He gets his first paycheck, he opens it up, and the smile on his face goes away, and he just goes, who's FICA? Who said they could take all my money?
We told this story on the air that I have several of these kids, and again, they're very, you know, they're high school seniors. They're very smart. One of them is one of the highest ranking people in their graduating class, and they're looking at the back of this check, because the nice thing about the golf course I work at is they still, while they direct deposit, they still give you a physical check stub to say, here's where you're.
Good.
And they're looking at it, and I can tell it's like, it might as well have been hieroglyphics. And I'm like, do you understand what any of that is? They're like, no. I said, would you like to learn? Yes. And so I spent probably 30 minutes going over it with them. They had no idea what FICA is, no idea what withholding was, no idea what Social Security is. And I said, you're 18 years old. You've been working for several years. Weren't you remotely curious? Like, where your money's going and what's happening? Well, you know, and people are not exposed to this anymore. And this is, look, it's obviously on parents. I mean, this is number one. It's always on parents. Yep. Parents should be educating their kids on this to begin with. I can assure you, by the time my daughter is 9 or 10 years old, she'll know FICA, she'll know Social Security, she'll know withholding, she'll know state income tax, she'll know county, and she'll know all of these things. So that's number one. But at the very least, if we're going to invest all of this money in the public education system and, you know, hey, it takes a village and they're helping raise our kids now, shouldn't they be teaching this stuff? Shouldn't the weekend guy at the golf course should not have to be educating the kids on how taxes come out of the back of a paycheck?
Yeah, I think that, yeah, when they talk about, you know, STEM education, STEM is great, but you also need to, somewhere there needs to be room for life skills. So how we divvy that up, but you're right. There's a lot of people that don't understand finance, they don't understand money, and those are the people who open themselves up to being taken advantage of.
This is the analogy I'm going to use, and then we'll head on to our next thing because we got a very interesting topic coming up next segment. The Masters is this week, and there's this old saying at Augusta, you can't win the tournament on Thursday, but you can lose it. And what that means is, even if you shoot really well, it doesn't necessarily guarantee you success. Like Bryson DeChambeau is leading the tournament. He's probably not going to win. He could, but he's probably not. There's guys who lead all the time on Thursday, and they aren't even anywhere near the hoisting the trophy on Sunday. So you can't necessarily win it on Thursday. But if you shoot 8 over, you're out of it, right? If you're
Jordan
8 over,
Spieth.
which guys are, yeah, you're 13 or 14 or 15 shots back of the leaders. You're not hopping over all those guys. It's the same thing with economics, which is it's so hard to ever get ahead if by the time you're 22, 23 years old, you're so far behind. And not teaching people about the importance of fiscal discipline and working hard and managing money and paying these credit cards off on time and not having exorbitant expenses, it is making it so these people are the equivalent of 8 or 9 over after the first round of the golf tournament, and they have almost no chance to win.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, it's our very fabulous segment where we focus on something good going on in the world. And we're going to have a guest for the segment coming up. There's a little boy in central Indiana who has a very rare disease. And there's a group of people who are working very hard to try to help find a cure for this disease and give this kid a better life. And I heard about these people and I said, we really need to showcase them and what they're doing. We'll do that next. Kendall and Casey Show, 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Tired of hearing Rob talk about all the bad news? Time to find your happy place. Turn that frown upside down. It's time for Rainbows with Rob.
Yes, it is our feel-good segment of the day. 93 WIBC, it is the Kendall and Casey Show. I'm Rob. Earl Powell, Brad Kloffenstein in for Casey today. One of the things we do during this 10-15 segment almost every single day is we showcase great things that are going on in the world and specifically right here in the Indianapolis community. And there is one local organization that is stepping up to help a young boy who has an incredibly rare disease, and they are doing some incredible work to try to find a cure for this rare disease that impacts less than 200 people in the entire world. It's called Infantile Neural Axonal Dystrophy, or INAD for short. And Heather Prentice joins us now. She's with the group called INAD Warriors. Heather, tell us a little bit about this infantile neural axonal dystrophy and what you guys are trying to do to help find a cure and help one boy locally.
So, as you mentioned, I'm with INAD Warriors. We're a nonprofit, and we were just founded about a year ago. And our mission is to raise awareness about this ultra-rare pediatric genetic disorder. And to also raise money to try to help researchers find a potential treatment or maybe even a cure. INAD is an inherited disorder, and so when both parents carry this gene, there's a 25% chance that their child will present with the disease. And what it's doing is accumulating too much iron in the brain, which then results in destroying the axons or the nerve cells that carry the messages in the brain. And unfortunately, what the result or the outcome of this is that children will start presenting with falling behind on their developmental milestones. They will start to suffer loss of motor control. They start to show vision impairment and eventually become wheelchair bound and unfortunately need the use of a feeding tube to support their nutrition. And sadly, heartbreakingly, over time, the average life expectancy of this rare disease is only about 10 years. And when we say that it's rare, it's really classified as a disease that we call ultra rare. We don't know the specific prevalence of the disease, but at this time, it's estimated that only maybe 150 children worldwide are afflicted, and that includes a very little boy, young little boy. He's 3 years old, and he's living here in our own Indiana community, and his name is Warner Kays.
Hey, Heather, let me introduce you again. Heather Prentice is our guest. She's with a fabulous local group called INAD Warriors. And again, Heather, because I am in radio, and I am totally going to butcher the name of this, tell us again about this disease that you guys are really invested in trying to help find a cure for, because it's affecting a local boy here, and then we'll talk about what you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's infantile neural axonal dystrophy, or called INAD, spelled I-N-A-D. And it's really unusual, very rare. Less than 150 children worldwide are afflicted by it, including our little boyfriend, Warner. And what we're doing, we've been really inspired by his courageous journey. And we formed this nonprofit in order to not only raise awareness about it, but to do fundraisers at the grassroots level. And we're really trying to raise funds to support researchers that are trying to learn more about this disease and hopefully one day find a treatment or a cure. So we're hosting several fundraising events throughout the year. And I'd like to share some information about that.
Sure.
With your listeners. The first one I want to share is called the Blue Ties and Diamonds Gala. It's actually the second year that we're hosting this big event. It'll be at the historic Columbia Club and at the Circle in downtown Indianapolis. The date is August 24th. This is our premier event, and we hosted last year almost 250 of our business leaders and members of our community attended, and we raised over $70,000 at our event in ticket sales and corporate sponsorships. And using that grassroots fundraising, we combined it with another partner nonprofit that we are working with that's also interested in supporting research in this space. And we issued a $100,000 competitive INAD research grant that will be awarded, and we'll make the announcement on who will actually receive that award later in June. And that's just one small step toward the contribution that we're trying to make in learning more about this disease and hopefully helping all the children with INAD, not just Warner, to have a potential treatment someday, maybe even a cure, and live longer, happier lives.
I just love that you guys are doing this. Again, Heather Prentice is our guest. She's with a group called INAD Warriors. Again, Heather, I give it to you because I am just terrible pronouncing this, even though it's a super serious disease. What is the name of the disease again?
It's infantile neuroaxonal dystrophy, also known as INAD. And going back to that event that we're hosting in August, we will be having ticket sales coming up and information about the event and the various corporate sponsorships and ways that maybe companies could donate items for the auction. That will all be available on our website, which is INAD, spelled I-N-A-D, warriors.org. Your listeners will be able to go to our website and our other social media platforms on Facebook and Instagram and learn more about that event, as well as two others that we're hosting this year. We have two other really family-friendly events that we're planning. One is a bourbon barrel bash.
Oh,
everyone
wow.
really likes bourbon. And that will be on the 1st of June at the barn at Milk House Lane in Morrisville. And we're also hosting a 5K run and car show at the Hendricks County Fairgrounds in September. So all the details about these events and links to purchase tickets or even make a donation if you're not able to join us in person, that's all available on our website at INAD, spelled I-N-A-D, warriors.org. And we'd also like to invite all your listeners to please follow us on our social media platforms as well. We're giving updates on the progress of Warner's personal journey with this rare disease and our progress to help all the children that are afflicted with it to hopefully someday find a treatment or a cure through grassroots fundraising efforts that we're doing in our local community.
Well, I just love that you guys are doing this, and I really do love that you guys are willing to step up up on this rare disease. And that was just one thing before I let you go. I was going to kind of ask you about was because, you know, when it's cancer, things that are so prevalent, you get a lot more people involved. Have you guys had challenges because this is such a rare disease that while it's clearly has just debilitating effects on people, you kind of have to educate people on even what it is. And has that really hindered your ability to get people involved?
I would say that really raising awareness and having a platform like this is really wonderful, and I really do appreciate it. But raising the awareness has been challenging because it's not something that anyone, even our medical community, is challenged to understand it because it's so unusual and rare. But we are doing our best, and I think the beauty of being able to join on shows like this and get the word out and the support that we really have in our local community, they like to call themselves Warriors for Warner. It's really been tremendous. And last year, we've only been a nonprofit for 1 year. But when I think back on the efforts and the advancements we've made, it just really shows that the Indianapolis community, the greater Indianapolis community, really does want to get behind stories like this and provide their support. We've really had great attendance at that gala last year, and we're looking forward to having it be even bigger and better this year, as well as our other family-centered events that we're planning in June and September. So it is a challenge, but being able to be here with you and share this information today is just helping us make it get even better.
Well, we love it. Heather Prentice, thank you again. And real quick, before I let you go, the website, if people would like more information.
It's INAD, spelled INAD, warriors.org. And we also have a Facebook and Instagram. So if you just type that in, you'll be able to search it and find us. And please start following us so that we can share the story and make that information more readily available.
All right, Heather, thank you very much. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Rob. I really appreciate it.
93 WIBC, it is the Kendall and Casey Show.
It's time to hear from you. Kendall and Casey present Voicemails. Brought to you by QC Kinetics for non-surgical regenerative medicine treatments at 317-559-PAIN.
It is the Kendall and Casey Show. I'm Rob. Brad Kloffenstein is in for Casey today. Kev's here. Your voicemails, 317-684-8444. That's how you can be a part of the show. So yesterday, Brad, we did a story on, Biden had a meeting with the head honcho over there in Japan. And one of the things apparently Japan is going to be doing is sending a guy to the moon.
Really?
And we kind of had a little, Casey and I did a little back and forth about what the premise of that is, what we're trying to accomplish, like what of all the things going on in the world and how governments across the globe appear to be stretched pretty thin thanks to all the money they printed during COVID. Is that really a great use of your resources?
I know the answer to this, Rob.
Yes,
I know
Brad.
The answer.
Yes, Brad.
So, as you know, me and Jim Merritt, we have a podcast that we do together.
You do. It's called Merritt in the Morning.
Merritt in the Morning podcast. And so a couple weeks ago, we had the people who were putting together Grand Universe up in Westfield.
Yeah.
And we asked them, because this guy used to work for NASA, and I'm like, hey, 50 years ago, we went to the moon a few times, decided it was worthless being there, and we never went back. How come everybody is suddenly, you know, trying to get back up to the moon and establish colonies and things up there? Apparently on the moon, on one of the poles, there is something called helium-3.
Oh.
And helium-3 apparently is used in nuclear fission.
Oh,
which
that
is
sounds
a,
dangerous.
So, well, it can create a lot of energy with virtually no waste.
Ah.
So if energy is important, which it is, that could be a vast source of energy for whoever gets there and grabs it.
So Casey and I had a little back and forth about this, and we had one person who had a very strong opinion about Japan going to the moon.
What a bunch of lies. They know good and well they never went to the moon. It's nothing but lies. I got two or three books here in my library, the life books and stuff that they used to have, the encyclopedias. Like, it is so daggone phony. You see the space thing land on the moon, no stars or anything in the background, and the flimsy-ass suits they had. It's all lies. If they had been to the moon, they would have gutted it out by now. There's nothing we can do in space. Not one thing. they need to get the people that have ripped us off for all that money with NASA and throw their ass in jail. They know good and well they ain't been nowhere near the moon.
So that's crazy, Larry.
I played that just for you.
Thank you. Do you have one of those a day at least?
Larry calls all the time, and we love Larry, and he's a very loyal listener to the show. And every so often, we just pop a thought or two from Larry.
I appreciate that you did that for the fill-in host today.
I knew you'd
just
love that.
Offer that up first thing.
So, are you a person who believes we've been to the moon, Brad?
I do believe we've been to the moon. I'm always amused when I run across conspiratorialists,
conspiracy theorists.
Yeah. I can't talk today. My words.
Well, that's only your job, Brad. I know. We don't expect too much of you.
No, my job is to fill the space between the commercials. what is in that space is less important.
Yeah.
So there's still the people who think we didn't go to the moon. I ran across a guy who, the guy in line behind me at the bank yesterday, who just randomly starts talking about, well, you know, I knew it was going to be raining here 2 days ago because you looked up in that blue sky on the day of the eclipse and there were all those contrails up there that's being dropped by the government and they're seeding the skies so that it'll rain. And I'm like, and I'm trying not to acknowledge this man.
Wait, this is in a bank? Like
a
financial
institution? In a line at the bank.
He was talking to you?
Talking to me.
Just didn't know you?
Didn't know me. Just never seen him.
Thought you'd want to know his thoughts on the chemtrails?
He was kind of just throwing it out into the ether in general, but he's looking at me like he's thinking that I'm somebody who's going to engage him in this conversation.
What's that say about you?
Rob, it's a story of my life. Every crazy person on earth is attracted to me, apparently. And I was having another conversation a couple days ago with people who were convinced that China is behind the freighter that hit the bridge in Baltimore.
Yeah. And that's not that outlandish, is it? I mean, we don't know anything yet about that. And the fact that they immediately declared it that it was accident or whatever. How would they know that fast? I mean, this is the bigger thing here is, okay, Larry sometimes is a little out in left field. But there is a reason for people to be questioning of their government at every turn because they're often dishonest.
The world needs a Larry, even if Larry is wrong a lot, but he's not always wrong, and we need somebody who's not willing to or who's not scared to go out there and go out on a limb.
Obviously, yesterday, the big news, we broke this on the show and put it out there that O.J. Simpson had passed away at the age of 76. Got multiple calls about that, and here is one of those.
So I was listening to your show from yesterday where you guys broke in and announced that O.J. Simpson had died. And it was either you or Hammer came on and said that the Simpson family has asked for, you know, privacy and respect during this troubled time or this sad time, whatever it is. I mean, I guess we can all take a stab at doing.
See what he did there?
I saw what he did there.
See what he did there?
That was skillful.
Yeah, that was a good one. All right, one more, and then we'll get to find out how fat Hammer is. So obviously, as we said yesterday, last night, Casey and I went and did that big event for Micah Beckwith. The place was packed. A ton of people are running for delegate and helping people who are running for delegate are there. And I'll tell you what, Brad, I told you this earlier. He may not win, but he is making those people in the Republican Party establishment sweat their ass off because they are going to have to work like hell in order to beat him at convention. It's a jump ball at this point. 50-50. Micah could be the lieutenant governor.
He could be. I mean, I agree because it's that convention. That's what, 800 people. So in a room of 800, Micah's a charming guy. He could charm them.
Yeah, so obviously the way this is going to go is going to depend on who gets elected delegate. Every community, you have delegates at the end of your ballot to vote on. And I know that people are questioning, well, like, who are the people who are going to vote for Micah? Somebody called with a question about that. And she also wanted to talk a little bit about Biden continuing to just put a middle finger in the face of the Supreme Court and cancel more of the student loan debt.
Hi, Kendall and Katie. I have a question. Are you going to put the people's names that we should vote for to help Micah Beckwith get the lieutenant governor nomination at the Republican convention? Because I just went on the WIBC.com website and couldn't find the list of names. Where will you be having them? I'm not savvy. I don't get on social media or any of that stuff. And also, what is going on with Biden? I am a senior citizen. Why should I be paying for student loans for people that are not related to me? If it was my children or grandchildren, that would be different. But I'm not paying. I don't want to pay for somebody's student loan who got a degree in gender studies or junk like that. Keep up the good work. Like your show. Bye.
Yeah, so two things. One, and we talked about this a little bit last night at that event, the establishment has actively recruited a bunch of people to run because they do not want him to be the lieutenant governor. So I'm told maybe later today they're actually going to finally have that list out on his website of people who have pledged, said, hey, we're supporting
on Micah's website.
On Micah's website. So I'll share it at Rob M. Kendall, et cetera, when it gets out, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. It is fascinating to me, though, Brad, you have way more people than ever before running for state delegate. And I talked with the delegate, a guy who's been to five conventions, and he said, there's a bunch of people, I have no idea who these people are, who are running for delegate. And he said, there is no way they accidentally found their way to running for convention delegate. So the party, the apparatus, the state party is actively mobilizing against him and has put people up to run.
So I'm curious, in a normal year, how many people get elected? Is 800 the number? The
1,800.
1,800. Yeah. So 1,800 get elected to state delegate. How many people typically run?
Well, it's like in Brownsburg or Avon, there's 30-plus people running for 10 spots in each community. It's usually 20 to 25. So if you extrapolate that out, now here's what's going to go down. Mike is going to clean up in these rural areas, the Villes, the Bergs, the et cetera.
Anything that starts with green?
He is going to boat race whoever the governor's, the state party puts up in rural parts of the state. The problem is going to be they're going to try to run up the score in the suburbs. And can he deflect that and get enough of those people at the convention? So we'll see. We'll get that list. Do not vote for anyone who does not promise you they're going to vote for him, though. Don't just pick somebody because they're your friend. Don't pick somebody because, well, they've been conservative in the past. That don't mean nothing on this one. That don't mean nothing. So real quick, too, and we got to get to Hammer. The student loan stuff by Biden is ridiculous.
Yes.
It's utterly ridiculous.
Pandering.
Yeah, I mean, it's just pathetic. This is why our country is $34 trillion in debt. This is why everything's so expensive. That lady's absolutely right. There is zero reason. College is your responsibility or your parents or grandparents' responsibility if they agreed to pay for it. Your college is not my responsibility. Everybody should be just outraged over this. And as usual, people just spend their lives twiddling their thumbs whistling while the country burns. All right, hey, let's take a break. Hammer, we'll find out how fat he is. Coming up next, 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
All right, fat boy.
Yes, sir.
Jason Hammer is here. Brad is in for Casey today. All right, so you took your final time out on our weigh-in, little weigh-in saga that we have. For those of you new to the program, about 7 or 8 months ago now, Hammer recognized that he was morbidly obese and had to do something. In fact, you actually weighed the equivalent of a baby elephant.
Yes, and I appreciate you bringing that up every single
week.
Well,
I'm a motivator. I'm a motivator. And so you started at 271 in August. You are now, what, 240.5?
Right. So from August 11th, where I weighed 271, to the last time we weighed in, which was March 15th, 240.5.
So you're down almost 30 pounds.
Yes.
Over 30 pounds, yeah.
And the way this works is each week, I will step on the scale that's here in the studio. I wear the same clothing
every week. Yep.
And if I'm even or down, even if it's 0.1, 0.2,
yep,
great. Survive in advance. Moving on. If I gain, even if it's by 0.1 or 0.2, I've got to put $5 into a virtual pot for Rob Kendall, to which he will do God knows what with
it. Yeah, and so you've got to, and thank you for acting like I'm going to be some debaucher. I'm going to give it to Project Rescue, the fabulous charity that helps fight human sex trafficking. So thank you. Sorry for doing something nice for the
sex trafficking. I'll believe it when I see that donation go in. Until then, I think Cheryl from Applebee's has still got skin in the game.
Okay, so and one other thing, you did get 3 timeouts throughout the course of this little venture. Where any week you feel like you're going to be over, you can use a timeout, and you don't have to weigh in that week. You did do that last week because you knew you were going to be over.
Right.
And so this is, you're out of timeouts now. So this
so
is
it's
it.
Game on.
Hey, you look close. I can usually tell with you. I can usually tell one way or another. I have no idea this week.
Like, you would be an amazing carny. Like, you could be at the fair guessing people's weight, right?
Hammer will verify each week. I can look at him and tell whether he's up or not.
Now, since your last weigh-in, you've been on spring break. There's been an NCAA tournament that involves lots of wings and beer. And I mean, I'm pulling for you, but I'm not confident.
Yeah. Like, there's always a but when people say, I'm pulling for you, but you're kind of an unlikable a-hole.
How many times did you make yourself puke this week?
Oh, I'm not a puker. No, I'm more of a pooper than I am a puker. So, let's get this party started,
shall
we? All
right, here goes Hammer.
We got to beat 240.5.
All right, Hammer is taking off the headphones. He's
Kev, get your thumb off the scales there.
Shuffle and a waddle these days over to the scale.
Rob, look at the number.
Oh, that's...
Look at that number, baby. Hold on.
Wait.
One more time.
Are you sure?
One more time.
That's too big of a coincidence.
Look at it. Oh, yeah, baby. Yes, sir.
That's depressing.
I had to beat 240.5. This week I weighed in at 240.4.
Yeah.
That's point one, baby. Let's go.
See, this is really the worst of everything because you really didn't improve your health at all. You're just as fat as you were, and yet I don't get the $5.
See, I would beg to differ because... I have lost a lot of weight this week because, as Mr. Kloppensteinstein pointed out, when I go on vacation, I go hard in the paint.
Yeah.
I eat, I drink a lot, and that was tough to get off.
So you should go get a job in the government or be a politician because your excuse of, well, in the aggregate, I didn't really lose anything, but I'm not as near death as I was a week ago. Hot dang.
I'm going to pull a full Joe Hogsett here. The number's going down. Point one, but the number's going down. Hey, this afternoon, man, we are super excited. So Beer Sample Friday, presented by Thompson Furniture and Mattress. Every Friday, we get this rolling around 5:48, 5:50 sometimes. Look what's making its debut.
No, here, put this over here.
Look at this sweet bastard right here.
Put it up on the YouTube feed for everyone.
The beer bong makes its debut today.
That's a thing of beauty.
It says the Hammer and Nigel show.
I love it says, I got bonged.
So we'll do this on the live YouTube stream this afternoon.
I love it. Brad's in for Casey. It's Kendall Casey Show, 93 WIBC.